Oh, sorry, everyone. Sorry about that. I guess we need to get started with this week's meeting of the EdTech Club. Apologies. I've gotten so swept up in esports lately. I've been watching the games streaming. I've been getting excited. I've been trying to learn the games myself, so you'll have to excuse me there. But we are ready to get going, so thank you all for being here. And this week, we are getting back into esports as another part of our series on the growing trend. And of course, we want to give you actionable information, information that is useful to educators in their schools, districts, campuses, classrooms, so that they can implement and understand esports. So this week, we're talking with...
I'm Matt Tarpley. I actually work for Merkle ISD in the IT capacity. And this year, I am teaching an advanced marketing class called Esports Marketing. And we are also running our first year of competitive esports as an extracurricular activity.
He's integrating not only the extracurricular activity of esports, but he's also making it a part of the curriculum. And students have responded extremely positively. But you don't have to take my word for it. That's why we're talking to Matt. He's going to tell you how easy it really is to jump into these games, what to expect, and how to put a program together on little more than a shoestring budget. That's right, we're back into esports, and we're giving you even more useful information on how to get started on this growing trend. And it all starts right now. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Rausch and welcome back to the EdTech Club. In this week's meeting, we're exploring more corners of the esports world with Matt Tarpley, so I won't take up any more of your time. I'll just jump into our conversation. So you teach a course on esports marketing. Is this at the high school level?
Yes, sir.
And so how did that come to be? And what does that class look like?
It's part of how I wanted to present esports as something that has more value than your standard person is going to see in an educational environment. So that was actually part of my pitch for esports here at the high school. We have a really cool principal here, Mr. Stevens. He'd actually wanted to talk to us about bringing robotics competition up to the high school level. We've been running it at middle school for a few years, and it was to that point now where those incoming freshmen was our first batch of middle school robotics, and he wanted to continue with that kind of STEM angle and student engagement and all that sort of stuff. And so I thought, well, I might as well pitch esports as well, because I've been looking into it for about 6 months prior to that. He is a big sports guy. He listens to sports talk radio all the time, and he hears about esports all the time. It's on traditional sports channels all the time. He knew it would be a great student engagement opportunity and an extracurricular kind of thing that we can offer that's going to pull in kids that are outside of the normal sports and like band type spectrum. So he was all for it, and I wanted to tie in a class as well. My actual original background is a kind of business related. Mm-hmm. So I have a fairly decent knowledge of how the esports industry works. So I wanted to do a practicum level marketing class to make kids actually do some of the stuff that they've already learned in lower level graphic design and the marketing track that we also offer here as a CTE program. And I just kind of ran with that.
Yeah.
The class part of it, it's all a doing stuff class. I don't do anything for them. I make these kids run the whole program. They're responsible for running the whole competitive side. We break up the teams into three groups. There's a social media group, there is a graphic design group, and there is an event planning group. Each project, we rotate groups, and we train managers for each group, so they all have a bit of responsibility and get to try all the different aspects. But, you know, they've done everything from setting up all the social media accounts and creating all the digital assets for all the branding and all the profiles and logos and banners and all that good stuff that goes with it. They're currently working on a website, and we're working kind of like our own kind of YouTube podcast thing that we've just started thinking about. I brought a button press, and we've been doing Badger Esports branded buttons. We're going to set up a booth at the lunch next Tuesday to kind of share out our social media stuff and give everyone a button and all that sort of stuff. But that's all stuff that they have to plan the whole way. They have to do the designs for the buttons. They have to make the buttons. They have to plan for their booth event at the lunch. You know, it's just all this stuff. You know, they send out surveys at the beginning of the year for esports interests, and they look through all that data. They put together the whole tryouts thing and when that was, and they ran it, and you know, they decided on the teams. We actually had our first regular season match yesterday with our actual competitive team, and so it's kind of a win for everyone, because we're all, you know, they can see that everything that they do affects the other two groups plus the competitive side, so it's all kind of tied together. It's an interesting bit of real world perspective, I guess. And they seem to be really enjoying that.
So how many students are enrolled in the course?
I wanted to keep it small because I wanted to make sure I could keep them busy. So I originally limited it to 12 people for this class. We actually had like 43 sign up for it. But this is a small school that only has like 270 people in the entire high school. So it was a large percentage of student interest.
Yeah, that's like a little under 20%, maybe.
Yep.
And
massive.
And the interest was like almost four times as much as the capacity for the class.
Yes, sir.
So to put it succinctly, I guess you didn't have to drag anybody kicking and screaming into this.
No, for sure.
And that means, because this is so student driven, you talked about, you know, letting them take the initiative, be proactive, you know, drive. The business, I guess that probably means it wasn't that hard to get started.
No, it really wasn't. It took a lot of the burden off of my shoulders, especially as I'm doing collegiate level varsity esports as well. It's a little overwhelming. I mean, esports is a full-time job no matter how you look at it. But yeah, this for sure has helped me out a lot. I know how it's supposed to work. I'm directing traffic more than anything else. But in the end of the day, if successes and failures and running behind schedule, that's kind of mostly on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's been a very different experience for them. I think it's been a good experience. You know, I had one kid tell me, this is the first business class I've had that was actually like a business.
Mm.
We actually had a Google chat, a Google Hangout with the VP of events for the Dallas Fuel Team Envy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we got to talk to him about, you know, that they do pretty much the exact same stuff here. They even have the same groups, with the single exception of they have, you know, like a sponsorship group as well.
Right.
But we got to talk about how the esports marketing has changed and evolved over the last few years, where it's gone mostly from this nebulous internet existence to something that's more real. More people acknowledge it. You know, a lot of the professional leagues, they're, you know, hometown branded now. They actually have to play in their hometown. So it has changed the whole dynamic of how the whole industry works and its perceptions. And so, like, he's gone from social media to he actually has to plan out the home games and book facilities and everything that goes along with that. So it's been a very interesting dynamic that has changed a lot over the last couple of years.
And so what's driving that change, and what are these? I mean, is it a pure outgrowth of interest?
Partly, yes. That whole part of it is really interesting as well. I mean, esports have been around forever. It's just been kind of student driven at the collegiate level. Mm. I mean, at the collegiate level, there's been, you know, gaming clubs forever, all the way back to like QuakeCon, you know, one of the original, you know, gaming centric conventions in the US, mm-hmm. which was, you know, out of Dallas. Dallas is actually the second biggest esports hub in the US. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, when Overwatch League started, they brought with them the traditional franchising model into esports, which before that it didn't exist. You know, it was just these, like I was saying, it was just these nebulous internet entities, these professional teams. You know, it was Team Envy. Okay, I know who they are. I don't know where they are or who they are or, you know, any of that. Mm. But now that the franchising came, you know, they had to buy their spot in the league. They had to rebrand specifically for their location. So Team Envy's Overwatch team became the Dallas Fuel. And so they're having to make home arenas. Next year, they will be playing in their hometowns and traveling to home and away games. And that was 2 years ago when Overwatch League started.
Wow, that's a pretty quick change.
Right. And then League of Legends followed suit right after that. And the new Call of Duty League has just started their franchising bidding and stuff as well this year.
And I've heard of the world of esports right now, at least how it's organized competitively, as being a little bit like a Wild West scenario. If I'm a secondary teacher, you know, I'm teaching at the middle school or high school levels, and I'm thinking I do want to get in on this, and I know my students want to. What would you say to someone who's weighing the idea of jumping in now while this activity is still new, or maybe waiting until it's a little more established?
I don't think there's any real benefit to waiting, because I think in our middle school and high school levels, I think it's going to end up being a lot like running Minecraft in your classroom. Mm. You know, you're kind of directing. You're never going to know more than your kids do. So just, you know, be the sponsor, be the adult in the room, and let them run with it. So there's a lot of benefit to just having it there on the table as something that they can do.
Yeah, and the games they're playing will change over time anyway.
I mean, the next Fortnite may come out in 2 months, and Fortnite will fall off the radar entirely.
It's right.
The nature of gaming. Just offering it in a space and, you know, this community, I think, is a big value. I mean, you know, they're going to go home and play video games in the corner of their room anyways. Mm-hmm. Might as well let them stay at school, work together, you know, get some social emotional learning and collaboration and teamwork and, you know, all that sort of good stuff, work together.
This tends to draw students who otherwise were not involved in any extracurriculars.
Exactly. Like here at our little school district, we're, you know, kind of an ag school. Mm. You know, all we have is traditional sports and band. That's all we offer is extracurriculars. Mm. So that makes us unique. So, yeah, it's gonna draw in different types of, you know, personalities, different types of kids that, you know, may not fit those other two molds. And that's a huge value. You know, reaching out and connecting with these other kids that, I mean, they may not see a whole lot of value in being at school, but something like this, maybe I want to hang out at school anyways. Mm. You know, I need to keep my math grade up so I can participate, you know, because we're running the same UIL eligibility requirements.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of good things you can come up from it. It's not just playing video games. We actually talk a lot. It's a lot of brainstorming and communication. You know, esports is a super, super social entity. You know, it's in game, you're talking all the time, you know, because everything is moving, you know, at the speed of the internet, right?
Right.
And so you have to make all these split second decisions and, you know, relay these instructions to the rest of your teammates. And it's, I mean, you get a lot of the same value as you do out of traditional sports. You know, we have traditional sports mostly for, you know, that's where you learn your social skills, right? You learn to work together and cooperate and follow instructions and, you know, have functional criticism and all that good stuff. I mean, this is so STEM heavy. It's easy to tie it into all sorts of things, just like my marketing class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's a boring marketing class? Who's going to sign up for that? There was probably three people. And, you know, tying it into esports marketing, running the esports team, you know, actually doing it as a practicum level course. And, you know, 18, 20% of the school signed up for the class because it's got that extra interest there of, you know, it's feeding off of something that most of the students are interested in, not necessarily esports, but, you know, everybody plays games.
So this is at a small rural school. Was there any barrier to entry in terms of the equipment, the technology, the network needs, the, you know, getting the games, getting the licenses, getting enough computers, et cetera, et cetera? Was there any barriers to that, or is it actually...
Not really. I mean, you don't really need a great computer to run even Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, League of Legends is even going to be less. I mean, it's a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most popular competitive esport titles. You know, it really wasn't hard to put this together. I mean, this computer I'm on right now, this is our streaming PC. I did this through a donor's choose. So we have a nice webcam. We have a nice audio mic and a computer that's beefy enough to run Photoshop and all that sort of good stuff. You know, they can learn about streaming to Twitch or, you know, doing YouTube live and all that sort of stuff as part of their class. And then we are one-to-one with Chromebooks at the high school. And so we have one class of, you know, a handful of students that's called the Chrome Crew that repairs Chromebooks throughout the year. And we had them build us two of our computers, about $500 a piece. And we bought a couple more computers, just cheap iBuy Power ones, about $500 a piece. But other than, you know, needing a headphones with a mic, I mean, these computers are at the end of the day less powerful than a teacher computer, but they're just a little different. You know, graphics cards a little more important than a processor type thing. But we did buy two nice computers that we're also running Photoshop on for the class and all that. But I mean, yeah, that's really about it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of money that has to go into a program like this. You know, there's no travel. Yeah, you know, we don't have to go anywhere. There's no overhead. If you have devices and some headphones, I mean, you're good to go. You know, we don't have gaming mice or gaming keyboards or anything else like that. It's just normal stuff that we have piled in our storage room in the IT department. We joined NASIF, the North American Scholastic Esports Federation, for our league because it's free. They're in California, like practically across the street from Blizzard. We get free Overwatch licenses to play on our computers, so they don't even need a license, because, you know, particularly in a rural district like this, you know, most of the kids, they have a PlayStation or an Xbox. They don't have a computer. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a PC license to start with. So going through NASIF, you know, we didn't even have to spend $20 on a license. It's just free for us to use for the semester until the end of the season. There's no fees to join NASIF. That's pretty much it. There's not a whole lot invested into this.
And the interest and the expertise is almost already there with the students, just waiting to be put into action.
Right. Part of my survey that I sent out at the end of last year, you know, I asked all these questions about what different aspects of gaming and the industry they were interested in. And, you know, I had about the same 40 some replies to that. And some of the replies were really interesting. I had like 40% of the lot of them had an interest in shoutcasting, which is like the over game commentary during matches.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I didn't see that coming. And another one was data analysis, you know, going over, you know, game statistics and all that sort of stuff, crunching
sure.
numbers, finding correlations. You know, it was, you know, there's all sorts of interesting different aspects to it that I, and those two in particular, I thought were really interesting.
Unfortunately, that's just about all the time we have for this week's meeting of the EdTech Club. But the good news is, no homework this week. Yay! But there is a chance for extra credit. If you still have questions about esports, we will answer them in future episodes. So send your questions, thoughts, and concerns to podcast@tcea.org. That's a great way to get in touch with us. And speaking of getting in touch, don't forget to follow TCEA on your favorite social media applications. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and more. And speaking of more, we will be back with more meetings of the EdTech Club in the future. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app or podcatcher. It really does help us out. So without further ado, we will release you from this meeting of the EdTech Club, because as you know, the school bell waits for no one. Until next time, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.